Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
How making bad choices in real estate can cost you a lot of money, and how to avoid those bad choices. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor, best-selling author of How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, public speaker, and this channel is devoted to helping you build passive income and financial freedom. This is the channel where it's a safe environment for you to come in here and say, hey, I don't know much. I wasn't taught this in school at all. And I want to learn and I want to build financial intelligence. That's what we're here for, to help you. It's a positive place. No negativity here on our channel. So we've got a great guest on the show today. This individual has a fascinating journey. His name is Jose Jamarillo. Did I get that right?
Close.
But I was trying. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Say it again. Jaramillo.
Yes.
Right. I got the Jose part correct. So
yes. Yeah.
Well, Jose has an interesting story. I mean, he's a buy and hold real estate investor now. He has 6 doors. He's looking to expand his portfolio. He's down in the Miami market, and he is an investor, a tried and true investor, but got his start, Jose, right, as a baseball player. And that's where you were going to really cut your teeth and become a professional baseball player. And then things shifted. And so today we're going to talk about some mistakes along the way, how you overcome those, and how to make, you know, how it's really kind of part of the process. It's part of the journey as a real estate investor.
Exactly.
So welcome to the show. And hopefully I won't butcher your name anymore.
Hey, it's okay, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to be doing this episode with you today. Don't worry about the last name, because like I said before, whenever I was a baseball player, every time that they were going to announce my name, they will make a stop and they will say, now batting Jose, and then there will be a silence, and then there will be Jamarillo or whatever they will come up. You know? So it's okay. I'm used
to it. Well, it's funny. I know somebody local to me whose last name is spelled precisely like yours, and goes by Jamarillo or Jaramillo. And I was like, okay,
Jaramillo.
So you're going to throw me off now. You're going to throw me off. So I totally understand that. I mean, working in the television business, I sometimes have to make that pause over the years and just stop and try to nail it. But I talk myself out of it sometimes. Well, let's talk some real estate today.
All right.
Let's talk about your journey. So before we dive into some of the mistakes, we're going to talk about a house that caught on fire, some of the problems that you went after it on this big renovation project. And we'll talk a little bit about your market down there in Miami and how expensive it is. So first of all, tell us how you got started in real estate investing, and what did it start while you were playing baseball?
Actually, no. Whenever I was playing baseball, you know, I did have some entrepreneurial tendencies, I believe, especially because of the background I have with my family. However, I was extra focused on baseball. That's, you know, 110% just baseball. Whenever I stopped playing baseball, that's when that big chief came and I had to figure out what to do, you know, and I knew it was going to be something related to business, because I didn't grow up working for somebody else. I grew up playing baseball, and then I didn't have that in me, because, you know, I didn't have that experience during those years. So it all started because I was living with a couple of roommates that they ended up leaving me, and I had to figure out a way to pay the rent. And I went ahead and started renting out the rooms. And then I actually got introduced to this big platform nowadays called Airbnb. And then I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, so that's kind of like how I got into it. And I started falling in love with the real estate business. Then I went to learn tax deed auctions. And that's how I bought my very first property. I bought it in a tax deed auction for about $35,000. We put like, I partnered up with two other guys. We put like, I think 7,000. It was a very small flip and we ended up selling it for 55. And then from there, I just, you know, went up on trying to figure out the business and learn as much as I can.
That sounds to me like it would have been a perfect buy and hold property. 35,000, you put 7,000 into it. You sold it for 55, not much of a profit there. And I have to say, is that a lesson you think you maybe have learned? Because anytime you talk to an old school real estate investor and you go to like a local meetup group with real estate investors and the old guys in the room, you ask them what their regrets are. And they'll tell you it's that they wish they had held on to this property. That sounds to me like it would have been a perfect buy and hold property.
I totally agree with you. We were renting out a property. Whenever we rented out, we were getting close to $1,000, like $950 or $1,000. So that was pretty good. I think that will fall into the 1% rule, if I'm correct.
But yeah, even more than that, that's like a 2%.
Yes. But you know, to be honest with you, there was one thing that I didn't like about that property. And it's something that I still hold on to it nowadays when I'm going to invest. And it was an apartment. And it had an association.
There you go. HOA. So, yep.
HOA. So I don't know how HOAs are outside Miami, but I can tell you my experience here, I really don't like them. So I try to stay away from those properties.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point about HOA. So the reason you're even saying a 1%, my mind immediately thought of it as a single family and thinking, you know, it's a 3-bedroom, right, 1-bath house. It's probably a 2, it'll hit that 2% rule. We have a whole video here on the channel about the 1% rule and ROI, if anyone wants to deep dive return on investment. But because you're probably taking out $150 to $200 a month for a homeowners association, that probably knocked it down from a 2% to a 1%, right?
Exactly. That is correct. And my belief with homeowners association is that, you know, when you compare that to a loan, you know, you have a fixed loan. So you're going to stay paying the same for whatever amount of time that you got that loan. The interest plus, you know, whatever else you have to pay versus the HOA, you don't know when it's going to increase. And what I have seen here is that they just keep increasing. So you can hold that property for whatever amount of years. They're just going to, the association fees are going to keep going up. And they can foreclosure your property if you don't pay faster than a bank.
Ooh, so good. I didn't know that. Wow, that's the first time I've heard that. I mean, I'm not a fan of HOAs. I've done videos on HOAs just because of special assessments. They can basically say, hey, we don't want you renting this property out anymore and the costs associated with it. But I didn't know that. They can foreclose faster than a bank?
They can jump in right away, yes. So that's why I tried to stay away from them. I actually rather doing single family homes or duplexes, you know. I'm looking forward to probably jumping a little to more units, like a fourplex, something like that. But no HOAs. Even if it is a single family home and it has an HOA, I'd really rather stay away from that.
I hope our audience is paying attention because I have heard horror stories about homeowners associations. And again, in the video that I have here on the channel on HOAs, you'll see the comment threads below and people are like, yep, I will. No way I would invest in HOAs. So Jose is giving us some great, great tips on that. Today's episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. You know, the show is all about building financial intelligence, right? And it's also about cutting costs in your family's life if you're spending too much money on ridiculous things like your cell phone plan. So we just switched to Mint Mobile, and if you're still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019, you've got to start asking yourself, what in the world are you paying for? So we were with another provider. We were with AT&T for a long time. I mean, about 11 years. Our bill was hundreds of dollars. So what you're paying for with something like that is a big retail store, right? Think about all the locations you're supporting, the brick and mortar companies, right? So you can find AT&T stores all over the place. You're paying for that with your service. Well, that's where Mint Mobile comes in because they don't have all these inflated prices, retail stores, hidden fees, all of that stuff. You're being taken advantage of by spending this extra money on stuff you don't need. If you've been watching some of my YouTube videos lately, and I've been talking about this, I've been beating the drum about trying to live more minimally, cutting down on the extraneous stuff you're spending money on. So here's where Mint Mobile comes in. I am a huge fan. I just switched to them on my main phone. That's high praise from me. I'm a former tech guy. So like this is crazy. And I set it up within minutes. It was set up with the SIM card. And I just looked at my wife and I said, wow, that was easy. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage that you're used to. So you don't have to like skimp on your coverage by switching at a fraction of the cost of what you're used to, because everything is online. So you're not paying for stores. You're not paying for all that stuff. They run their whole company on the internet. So Mint Mobile saves on that retail location and all that overhead, and then passes those savings directly on to you. I mean, it's a thing of the future. I mean, it really is. All these stores, when's the last time you actually went in there to buy a phone or anything? It's ridiculous. I never go to that place. I never went to an AT&T store. So you're paying for that as part of that service, or Verizon, or any of those services. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. You're only spending $15 a month for your mobile bill. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, you can stop paying for unlimited data that you're never going to use. You can choose between a 3, 8, or 12 gigabyte plan of 4G LTE data. Most people, if you look at your usage, you're not using very much data at all. And if you turn off stupid stuff on your phone, this is my little public service announcement. You know, like there's little things like in your settings of your iPhone with background app refresh. If you just turn that off and only limit that to the apps that you want using data when you're not, you know, just roaming around, like why do you need Facebook using background app refresh? You don't. Turn it off. Save that data. So that's what I've done. Use your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan. You keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. So to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, they'll send you the SIM card right in the mail. Go to mintmobile.com/investing. That's how they're going to do this. They set up this special offer just for our listeners. Go to mintmobile.com/investing. That's mintmobile.com/investing. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/investing. Thanks, Mint Mobile.
So I want to go back a little bit. So you were playing baseball. I think that's the thing people think, you know, I was in the TV world. So glamorous. You're playing baseball, but from what I understand, you weren't really making any money.
No. You make money when you make it to the big leagues. That's my point of view, unless you have a big signing bonus at the beginning. But that was not my case. You know, I was fortunate enough to actually get a scholarship. And that's how I came into the United States. I was getting paid to go to school and play baseball. So that was a really amazing combination. I'm super grateful for that because I was able to get my college degree. I don't really practice my college degree, but I was able to go to school, finish school, get a degree, you know, and play baseball here. And then after that, I went to play a little bit of independent ball in Texas. But again, you know, like you said, you don't really make much money to live. And that's when I made the decision to just stop playing and figure out a way to, you know, to make it happen and make more money, have a better life.
So when that moment happened, when your two roommates moved out and now you needed to come up with like, what was it, $2,500 a month in rent that these guys were paying you, what was that moment like for you? Did you put out an ad on Craigslist or some other apartment renting place? How did you find those tenants? And was that the seed that was planted for you?
At the beginning, I went and put a couple of ads on Craigslist. So I was getting people that would come and stay for just a couple of months, things like that. It was a little stressing because during that time I really wasn't making much money, and then for me to come up with $2,600 a month per rent was a lot of money, and it was definitely a really bad decision, but a good decision at the same time, getting into that rental, you know, to getting into that commitment. Also a good friend of mine said, "Hey, why don't you try this out? This new platform is called Airbnb. You can lease a bedroom for rent, and you know, you may be able to make it happen, probably make a little more." And that's exactly what happened. You know, Airbnb during that time, it was busy, but not as busy as right now. I read an article the other day that during that time, it was actually 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10 people that were trying Airbnb nowadays is 1 out of 4. So it has definitely increased. There is more demand. But back then, it helped me a lot. Like, you have like no idea. It really helped me a lot.
That's great. There's a little pointers along your roadway that are pointing you in the right direction. So before we get into this current deal that you've been working on with, you know, this what you call the firehouse and some of the big mistakes you can make inside of real estate investing and choices that can cost you a lot of money. Talk about that first deal again, the $35,000. You bought a tax deed auction, $35,000. You put $7,000 into it and you flipped it for $55,000. How did you come up with that money for $35,000? You didn't have any money, really, playing baseball. You're Airbnb in your apartment out for other people. And what, if I understand correctly, at a tax deed auction, you need to come up with all that money, right?
You need to come up with all the cash. But see, the beauty of real estate is the creativity that you have, the option for creativity. And you can, you know, get people ask for money, you know, borrow some money, pay back with interest, whatever. So I put a lot of effort into learning the tax deed process. And then one of my older partners had actually already a little bit of experience. So he put part of the money, and then I had another business partner that put money and then lent me the part that I was supposed to put in. So I came up with a little bit. I had like $5,000 saved, something like that. But I put a small amount and I borrowed the rest. And that's how we went and purchased the property cash. We fixed it and found a tenant and then sold it to an investor that is nowadays holding that property for rent.
Boom. I love it. I love it. So all the people that write and say, I have no money, I can't invest in real estate, Jose just shows you that's exactly how you have to do it to be creative. And I believe in this country, people who've actually built wealth, they have to use other people's money to build wealth. There is a difference between good debt and bad debt. And the wealthy people in this country have built wealth using other people's money. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, you're totally right, man. You're totally right. I believe that there is a pool of opportunities in this country to build wealth, especially in real estate. You can use other people's money or you can use the bank if you have the option. Unfortunately for those properties, to my knowledge, it's a little difficult to actually get a loan for something that is $35,000, $45,000, but you can definitely find a private lender or somebody, some investor that is willing to, you know, lend you the money and you can go ahead with the property and invest in it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vista Print. By the way, this is the only company I use to print business cards. Yes, when I started my business, when I was out wholesaling and doing door-to-door housing purchasing, I went to Vista Print to buy my business cards because I wanted a professional look. And it was so affordable and they did such an amazing job and their website couldn't have been easier to upload my logo. If I didn't even have a logo, I could build one right on Vistaprint's website. That's how awesome they are. And your next big opportunity is coming right now and you want to have a proper business card. You want to be able to own the now and it's only $10 to get your business cards up and running. That's a low price to have the confidence that you're always ready to make an impression or get seen in a new way. A custom card with the colors, fonts, and designs and images that you choose means you can look and feel like a big deal, whether you're a startup or a business with a century of history behind you. And it doesn't have to be hard. You can upload your own design or start with one of their professionally designed options. Vistaprint offers simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. You pick the paper stock. You want it glossy? You want it matte finish? You pick the style and the quantity that's right for you? And then you choose the speed of delivery. You order and receive your cards in as few as 3 days. I couldn't believe it. Like, I made my cards and they were at my house in a big box just a few days later. It's remarkable. Think about this in the 1980s. We'd never be doing this, right? Never. We're in a beautiful age. So Vistaprint only uses carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper. They have dozens of designs that are just right for your business. Your satisfaction, by the way, is 100% guaranteed, or they will make it right, either by reprinting your order or giving you a full refund. But get this, Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners are going to get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com. vistaprint.com/investing. That's vistaprint.com/investing. vistaprint.com/investing to get your cards for just $9.99. Thanks, Vistaprint.
So let's get into this house because I want to talk about some of the details. We talked about some of the mistakes, and I think mistakes are what hold people back in real estate investing, worrying about some of the big pitfalls, and they don't take action. They'd much rather just be comfortable investing in mutual funds in their 401k and never really building wealth. You're going to make mistakes along the way. So let's talk about this house. You called it the fire house. Tell me about some of these mistakes and what this thing looks like.
It is the firehouse, man. We bought this house. I partnered up with two guys. So we decided to buy this house that had caught on fire in the past. We purchased this house for about $85,000, if I remember correctly.
In Miami?
And it was like a deal. No, it was actually in Fort Lauderdale. So like 30 minutes. Miami is right next to Fort Lauderdale. I have some properties there. And So we ended up buying this property for $85,000. It was on fire before, right? So we got it with a Harmony loan and we said, okay, let's buy this house, fix it, whatever, and then put it for sale. Worst case scenario, then we'll do like a refinance type deal where we put a tenant in there and then we refinance the house. So anyways, long story short, some of the big mistakes that we did was picking the wrong contractors and then also starting the project before having all the permits approved with the city. So a big mistake because, you know, that can bring a lot of issue down the road and it can delay you. So the first contractors that we got, they will come to the work to the job. They will start working and then they will disappear for a few days. And one of the reasons that we hired these guys, it was because, you know, they were less expensive. Mistake number one. Nowadays, I believe if you're going to hire somebody, it doesn't necessarily have to be because it's cheap. You know, there are other things that fall into place. Then we have to chase these guys. These guys, they will become hard to reach. They wouldn't answer the phone. They wouldn't show up to work, whatever. Then we will have to hire somebody else. This other person will come, do the job. He will do an okay job. But then we will find pitfalls, you know, and then the job will have to be redone again. And it was just a chain of effects, man, one after one until we also, during the permit process, we hadn't got it approved, but we had actually started the project. Then the city came and say, hey, that's it. You know, you can work. We have to put a stop order. Once you have the permits, then you can go back to work. We ended up hiring a contractor that was supposed to helping us out with all these permits. We got it the whole house. We were doing new electrical, new floors, new everything.
Did you know that at the start that you were going to have to gut it? Because it sounds like with all the fire damage, maybe your analysis wasn't as thorough as it could have been?
No, we knew that we were going to gut the house. I knew that from the beginning. The big mistake there was hiring the wrong contractors and then not having the permits on time.
Right.
And then a big issue that we faced was one of the subcontractors actually didn't have the right licensing in place, but we didn't know that. So you always have to make sure that you check the contractors. Always is key. I don't know how it is in other places, but I can tell you here in Florida, you can go to the Florida, I forget the name, but there is a government department that you go and then you can check the license for the contractors and the people that you're hiring. So the city, when they find out this, they say, hey, you don't have the right license. Now you can keep working. You know, this guy is not even supposed to be performing any type of job. So we got the project completely stopped for about 4 to 5 months.
Ooh.
Completely.
Oh, and but I just got to ask you, in that time, I mean, I can think how brutal that would be. Are you sitting on like hard money loans carrying costs and holding costs? Ouch.
Exactly. So we were paying close to $900, if I'm correct. Yeah. It was close to $900 every month.
And that's just eating in your overall profit when you're going to flip it.
It's eating the profit, exactly. And then, you know, the process of hiring a new contractor again or a new handyman and then the process with the city, paying the fees, paying the inspection fees. at the end, it worked out. Right now, it's balanced. The project is finally balanced. I was able to finish it. Everything is done. Yesterday, I passed the final inspection for the electrical. I had already passed the final electrical for plumbing. I just have the mechanical going now. And the house is under contract.
Great.
It's under contract for 180. And we are very close to break even. So we haven't really lost money. What helped us was that the market was increasing. And back then, whenever we got the appraisal value from the lender, we actually estimated $150,000 for an ARV, an after repair value. But nowadays, the property appraised for $180,000. Uh-huh. So it worked out very well because the market was growing and it was increasing. But if it was a different scenario, well, then we probably would have lost a ton of money. But I wouldn't sold the property. I would have probably rented out, because I feel like in real estate, you have options, even if it is a really tough time. You just have to decide when to pull out. It's kind of when you're investing into the stock market. You lose when you take the money out. You don't lose because the market just actually went out. I don't know what you think about that, but
I do. Yeah, I think that's a great solution, because 150, I mean, if you look at the return on investment on that house, you bought it for 80, you're in it for about 150 or so. That's, you know, my rule of thumb on a rental property, single family, is really anything under 175,000 is like the most I would ever pay, you know, really want to pay for a single family for a buy and hold. So what do you think that property would have rented for if you had to hold on to it?
1600 at least.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good rental.
And yeah, being conservative, 1600.
Yeah.
So yeah, refinancing the home, putting a tenant in there, hopefully take some money out. You know, when you do the refinancing, you get that opportunity to cash out some money if your numbers are good, and then just move forward. But we got an offer. We got an offer, and then we say, hey, okay, let's sell it, whatever. We assume whatever we have lost, if there is any loss, and we move forward and put that money in another house.
Well, and you're in business, right? You're an entrepreneur. You have a business. So now you have a loss.
Yeah.
You have a capital loss.
Excellent.
That Which offsets your thing? Income from your other rental properties. So there's like three ways to get out of this problem. You know, that's, I think, when people get scared about real estate investing, it's like, if you can show them that a loss on your taxes is actually a positive, right?
It is a positive. Yes, you can definitely turn losses into something positive. Always. You just have to put things into perspective and see different scenarios. You know, you can't just get your head just wrap around into, wow, I'm losing money. You have to, something that I learned when I was playing baseball, you have to slow the game down. Mm. And then, you know, see what your options are. You can rent the property. You're not going to lose money right now. But if you need the cash, then yeah, okay, you have to sell. But how do you really need that cash right now? You know, so those are the things that I think of whenever I'm going to make a decision.
I love that. Well, Jose, I really appreciate you joining us on the show today. I would love to have you come back on in, you know, a few months, and we can talk about contractors and hiring the right contractors. That will really help people, I think, avoid some of those pitfalls that we talked about. Does that sound like a game plan?
I love that. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How can people contact you? We'll have a link to everything we talked about in our show notes, but if there's any way that you want people to reach out to you, how can people connect?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, they can connect with me through Instagram. My Instagram is josejaramillo85. They can DM me and I will respond real fast. I'm really good with that. I always try to stay in contact with everybody and respond to everybody. So I think that will be the easiest way.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jose. I really appreciate it. We'll have you back on soon to talk about contractors. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Clayton. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. Remember, this is a safe and positive environment for you to build financial intelligence. No negativity here on the channel. If you've got negativity, take it somewhere else. We want to help you get over those limiting beliefs around money and wealth building. Until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Even if you have a firehouse, you still have options. Three options. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Yeah. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.